Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 118 of My 123 Cents, the podcast. As always, it is a pleasure to have you on board for this week's show. I'll be talking to Cape Championship Wrestling heavyweight champion Brandon Barbwire. He is the first and only CCW champion in the company's short history of about 8 or 9 months. We'll be talking much more about Cape Championship Wrestling in the weeks to come as there are some good things ahead, I believe, for My 123 Cents and for Cape Championship Wrestling, working out some of those details. I will have more information for you soon. But Brandon Barbwire will be defending against Broken Matt Hardy. That's right. TNA's Broken Matt Hardy is headed to Cape Girardeau, Missouri this Saturday night. It's February 25th at the Arena Building in Cape Girardeau at the park there. I will have everything in the write-up here on iTunes as well as on jitterymonkey.com. So be sure to check it out, follow on social media, and keep up to date with what's going on with Cape Championship Wrestling. We'll get to the interview in just a few minutes, but it has been a rather somber few days in the world of professional wrestling. We lost three former wrestlers in the course of about 36 hours. George the Animal Steel has died, along with Nicole Bass and Ivan Koloff. And I have thoughts and blogs up on my123cents.com, but I wanted to take another moment and just remember these three individuals. Nicole Bass was a part of the Attitude Era. I don't want to say a small part, but her contributions to the world of professional wrestling, obviously not as significant as that of George the Animal Steel or the Russian Bear Ivan Koloff, but that is to not minimize the impact that Nicole Bass had. I remember her most notably being involved with Val Venus, the Jeff Jarrett and Deborah angle. That kind of is what sticks out to me when I think of Nicole Bass. And then, of course, her many appearances on the Howard Stern Show through the years. So my thoughts go out to her family, friends, and fans, as well as George the Animal Steel. You know, I wrote it in my blog, but I just remember that first time flipping through and stopping on wrestling. And it was Jimmy Snuka and Don Morocco at the time. I kept watching, and then George the Animal Steel did an interview. And I wrote in my blog that he kept saying yes, but I think he was saying kick, actually, now that I think back on just that he hadn't turned babyface yet. He was still a heel, and he was just one of those characters that captivated. And, you know, when they turned him good and made him more lovable, it just made sense for that time period because they had gone from this monster, this savage beast, if you will, and brought him down to somebody that they could market. You know, the Mind Doll, it was the little hairy doll that had a bald head. It was just genius and a testament to Vince McMahon's vision and marketing skills and the team that he had surrounding him. I don't know whose idea all that was, but you know, Vince approved everything in that era. Ivan Koloff, and I mentioned this in the blog too, disappointed that he is still not a member of the WWE Hall of Fame. He beat Bruno Sammartino, broke that long-standing championship reign of Bruno's, and, you know, people talk today about Brock Lesnar beating The Undertaker streak. This was that level many, 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 many years ago, 1971, before I was even born, believe it or not. So, you know, Ivan Koloff's significance just with that feat alone qualifies him, in my view, for the Hall of Fame. And then he contributed many years before and after that, teaming with Nikita Koloff and Crusher Khrushchev as part of the Russians, six-man tag, a very creative name there, but they feuded with the Road Warriors, Dusty Rhodes, Magnum TA, the Rock and Roll Express, held the tag team championships in the NWA as well. Just a very rich history with Ivan Koloff, and that's when I started watching wrestling, was when he and the Russians were teaming up, and then the Powers of Pain, and then eventually turning good, and before finally retiring. But everything I've read, too, about Ivan Koloff online, and George Steele, for that matter, two of the nicest guys you'll ever meet. George Steele actually one time, or a couple of times, commented on the blog over on LinkedIn. He was part of a WWE group, and I appreciated the words that he had said on those blogs. So two great legends gone from us in George Steele and Ivan Koloff, and of course, Nicole Bass making those contributions during the Attitude Era as well. All three will be missed. And again, our thoughts and prayers, condolences go out to the family, friends, and fans of Ivan Koloff, George Steele, and Nicole Bass. And we're going to switch gears once again and talk a little bit more about Stride Pro Wrestling. There is new tag team champions, Red Daniels and Jake Capone, the Midwest Mafia. I think I talked about this briefly last week on the show. Dan was on podcast 2 weeks ago. He promised they would win the gold, and they did. So Red Daniels and Jake Capone, congrats to you guys. It's going to be a tough go because there are a lot of other guys and teams out there vying for that gold. Heath Hatton also is a marked man. He is the Stride Pro Wrestling Heavyweight Champion still, but Roger Mathis winning a big event to become the number one contender. But before that championship match happens, there is the anniversary show. It is Saturday, March 4th. 1 year Stride Pro Wrestling has been around now. It's going to be Heath teaming up with Team XXX, the former champs, going up against the Midwest Mafia of Red Daniels, Jake Capone, and Roger Mathis. So the tag team champions teaming up with the number one contender, taking on the former champs and the Stride Pro Wrestling champ. It's going to be a great show. Jerry Travelstead, by the way, defends against El Fabuloso. So that's going to be an interesting legacy championship match. El Fabuloso kind of coming out of nowhere to help El Magnifico a few weeks ago, and a friendship has developed there. But Fabuloso won a fatal four-way to become the number one contender. So it'll be a great show again Saturday, March 4th. We'll see you out there. But this Saturday, February 25th, it is Cape Championship Wrestling. Brandon Barbwire defends against Broken Matt Hardy, and new tag team champions will be crowned that night as well. It is a tag team tournament. New champs will be crowned. We'll hear more from the champ right after this.
It's my personality to be jittery. It's part of my charm.
Wrestling fans,
are you ready?
It's time for my 1-2-3 cents of a podcast on the Jittery Monkey Podcasting Network.
Give me a hell yeah!
Now, here's your host.
The man is also a very long, dear personal friend of mine.
Does the guy have a name?
Yes, he has a name.
Kevin Huntsberger.
Woo!
Alrighty, everybody. As promised in the intro, our guest today is the current CCW Cape Championship Wrestling Heavyweight Champion, Brandon Barbwire. Brandon, it is an honor and a pleasure to have you on my 1-2-3 Cents, the podcast. Thanks for being a part of it.
Hashtag long live the champ. It is my pleasure.
Now, you are the very first Cape Championship Wrestling Heavyweight Champion, and you had some struggles along the way as far as, I don't want to say struggles per se, but you've had a lot of challenges, a lot of guys have the eye on the gold, so to speak. What has been it like being the champion for the past several months?
Well, I think you get in this business, no matter what you're doing, obviously one of your goals is to become a champion and be the guy in a company. So from that perspective, it's been fantastic. I've been enjoying every minute of it. And a lot of guys don't really thrive on the sense of competition that I do. I like challenges. You know, I like having to beat the odds. It also becomes a huge pain in my butt, but it's absolutely worth it. And especially whenever they can't get the job done. You know, for months now, 8 months, I've been CCW Heavyweight Champion, and regardless of who they put me in the ring with, I've walked out still CCW Heavyweight Champion. So as long as things are going up, I'm good.
Now, obviously, the big show coming up on Saturday, February 25th, you are facing Broken Matt Hardy. This has got to be a huge challenge for you. Is that? Would you agree with that statement?
You know, I on my Facebook, I posted a video to this, and I had a lot of people commenting basically the same things, like, oh, my God, you're going to be in the ring with Matt Hardy. Are you intimidated? Are you scared? Are you worried? And I'll tell you and your listeners the same thing that I told everybody that listened to that. What do I need to be afraid of? What do I have to be scared of? What makes me intimidated? Is it the vast library of information that I can now look up and research on Matt Hardy to get an advantage? Is that what makes me intimidated? Is it the fact that he's been to the big time companies? I mean, everybody started somewhere. There was a time when Matt Hardy wasn't at that big time company, and of course now that he has been there and he's been worldwide and he's global, and I've been watching the man since I was a teenager, I'd say I have a better advantage over Matt Hardy than most.
That's a good point.
I'm not intimidated, but I'm certainly excited. I can't wait to show Matt Hardy what the word broken really means.
That's a very valid point. So how do you – you mentioned, you know, having a vast library to go back and look on, and that is true. Matt Hardy has been worldwide. Is that kind of your strategy here as you prepare for a challenger of that kind of recognition?
Well, I mean, it kind of has to be. I mean, that seems like, I mean, the common sense answer. I mean, the main thing that Matt Hardy is going to have coming into this and any other bout is his experience. But his experience doesn't have to only have to work out for him. You know what I mean? Like, his experience can work very well in my favor as well, because it's been documented. It's been recorded, and I have access to it thanks to the wonderful internet. And so, yeah, I think taking advantage of that is just the smartest thing that anybody could do.
Well, we've talked about Matt Hardy here for the last couple of minutes. Let's talk about Brandon Barbwire. 8 months now as the CCW Heavyweight Champion. But how did you get your start? Because CCW is brand spanking new in terms of wrestling companies out of Cape Girardeau, Missouri. Of course, the show happening on the 25th, just later this week, at 6 o'clock at the Arena Building in Arena Park over in Cape. But what's your background? I know you didn't just walk in that first night and win the championship.
No, I've been working in this business for 13 years now. I started in Dyersburg, Tennessee. I was trained by a man named Motley Cruz and another man named Derek King. And Frank, more so Motley than Derek from an in-ring perspective. I've traveled a lot. I've been pretty much all over the U.S. I have not broken that ground as far as leaving the U.S., but I'm hopeful to. But, you know, 13 years of traveling and working and learning from anybody and everybody with the experience that they've had in this business has given me a good position here. It certainly didn't happen overnight. Nobody starts off in this business and is doing well right off the bat. Now, some people may have a certain look and they may have a certain body type that grants them certain opportunities probably before they should. But as far as really having success and being good at your craft, that's stuff that just takes time.
Yeah, you're absolutely right on that. Anything that successful people, you know, you think of an overnight success, that really doesn't exist. It's a lot of work and sacrifice that goes into that. And 13 years is a testament to your commitment to this business. In that time, who have been some of the, you know, obviously Matt Hardy is going to be a big name that you'll have stepped in there against, and I know you've stepped in there with others. Who are some of the other big name stars that you've been in the ring against?
Brian Christopher, Jerry Lawler, Bill Superstar Dundee. I almost forgot the biggest one. Jake Roberts, of course. Now, in all fairness, I will say about Jake Roberts, I wasn't wrestling him, but he ran out in my match, and we had fun. Actually, he clotheslined me.
So. Oh wow!
But nonetheless, you know, Jake Roberts, you know, growing up, that's one of those things that, you know, I watched Jake Roberts, obviously, and Jake the Snake is, everybody knows who Jake the Snake is, and I get to say I was clotheslined by him. It's kind of a badge of honor, so that's nice. Also, he gave me a titty twister later, and I have a picture of that somewhere, and that was fun.
That is awesome. So, I'm going to try to ask this in a way that is not insulting to anyone involved, but is there a difference in the prep work or the feelings that you have, and I don't want to say nervousness, so to speak, but how are you feeling going into the ring and getting in there with Jerry the King Lawler or Brian Christopher versus someone who you share a locker room with on a monthly basis at CAPE Championship Wrestling, for example. Is there a difference, or do you prepare the same no matter who the opponent is?
Yes and no, to be honest. I mean, it really just depends on who it is, because there are people that I share a locker room with that it's just like, you know, going to work at any other place. There are certain people that you interact with more so than others. And whether they're there every month or not, you know, it's just like I communicate obviously much more with Billy Hills than I do, say, Austin Lane. So whenever I'm going to have to go in the ring with Billy Hills, yeah, there's a certain different mindset for it. Now, someone like Matt Hardy, who I'm going to be in the ring with, and I may or may not even see him in the back at all. You know, so it's different just based on the kind of interaction you have with that person in general over time. You know, I think you try to watch everybody to some kind of extent, get an idea of what their mindset's like, way that they work, and try and judge it that way. Like, if you don't have the skills to kind of analyze people, I think that makes things much more difficult. Luckily, I have that. It's served me well.
And, you know, CAPE Championship Wrestling has brought in some other big name guys throughout the 8 months that they've been around. Do you enjoy getting the opportunity to work with these other? And I know you're not necessarily working in the ring with them, but I would imagine there's some Q&A or some time to sit down and talk to these guys. Or is that not the case when they're here?
Typically, there's a little bit of time to conversate, but not anywhere to the extent that anybody would like, because they're so busy. You know, they come in and they've got like when they brought in Ricochet, you know, like they had a meet and greet and a dinner and then photos, and then he's got a prep for his match with Boston. He's got to get his mind right and everything. So, you know, you just fit in conversation when you can. It's never anything really too lengthy, because the whole time that he's here, that whole day is pretty much just him doing business, getting to work. So you fit in the conversation when you can. And actually, if you're actually going to end up working with the man, depending if you're going to be in the ring with him, maybe the time that you get a chance to have more conversation with him, depending on that situation.
Yeah, I guess it's kind of hard to be a fan and a you know, professional when these guys come in, because you are, you know, you're their peer now, and you're not able to quote unquote fanboy when they walk into the room, so to speak.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. And it's the same thing. Like I've met so many people, you know, and the so-called big name stars. So many people do the pictures thing, but whenever I was breaking in, you know, and I was always told, you know, hey, don't do that picture stuff. Don't do that BS. Don't be a mark. You know what I mean? And so, you like, distinguish yourself, look professional. He's like, if you don't take yourself seriously, why should he? If he feels like you feel like he's more important than you, what kind of message are you sending there? And so I never really took a whole lot of pictures or photographs. I don't have a whole lot of physical proof, which now the business, I mean, for even in the 13 years that I've been in it, it has changed so much. Like, that's really not an issue anymore. But when I was first breaking in the first 5 years, it kind of was. And it may have just been the circle I was in and that old school mentality, because Motley does have a very old school mentality. But it's just changed.
Yeah, I've noticed it too with some of the shows that I've been to and kind of been behind the scenes with. So on the 25th, it's not just, I mean, obviously the championship match is a big one, but there's also going to be tag team champions crowned, a one-night tournament. Tag Team Warfare is actually the name of this card. So there's going to be a lot of action and CCW finally naming a set of tag team champions. From your perspective, what are your thoughts on adding more gold to the roster?
I think it was a lot more exciting when I thought I was going to be a double crown champion, because initially I was in the tournament.
Upset that they pulled you from it to defend?
No, absolutely not. Because I feel like, I mean, initially it bothered me. And then I started getting all these messages about, oh, what are you going to do? It's Matt Hardy. Surely you're going to beat. Now I'm just pissed off. Now I'm to the point where I'm more excited about shutting everybody up. Tell the naysayers to go to hell, because anybody that that feels like just because it's Matt Hardy or is this guy or that guy, that means that I don't have a chance. Clearly, they don't know me. They need to get to know Brandon Barbar. And the best way to introduce them to me is by taking a guy like Matt Hardy and beating him. Then, you know, that's what I want to do. But the thought of holding more gold was interesting to me. I thought it would be fun. But the tournament in general, you know, as I give thought to it, prior to this event, there have only been two other tag matches that I am aware of in CCW. There was a big eight-man tag back at November Knockout, and that was held in Delta, Missouri. And then there was a tag match at the last Cage Chaos event that we had, and that was between Billy Hills and Sarah Summers against Austin Lane a little bit. Other than that, we haven't really done any tag team, but I know that from social media, a lot of the fans have been asking about it and wanting it. So, you know, from that perspective, give the fans what they want. They're probably going to come back. They're going to bring their friends. You sell more tickets. I make more money. So, yeah, I'm happy. And I look forward to that.
The interesting thing about this tournament that I found is there are two, or at least two right now, because your spot is still open in the tournament, but there are two women competing in this with male partners. So there could potentially be, and I think TNA might have done it at one point, but there could potentially be a intergender tag team champions in CCW.
Well, here's the thing, and this is what I've picked up on. This company is different. This company is kind of, I don't want to say ahead of the curve because I know other companies have done it, but especially for this area, it is most certainly ahead of the curve. The idea of separating genders in this company isn't really a thing. I know at one time there was a discussion about possibly down the road if Wilbit was suitable getting a heavyweight title shot. And so I think anybody's fair game for any title at this point. So the idea of intergender, I don't think it stands in the same sense here. A competitor is a competitor in CCW. And that in itself could be controversial because God knows I don't want to have to put my hands on a woman by any means. But if you put her across the ring for me for my heavyweight title, what do you think I'm going to do?
Right.
What am I supposed to do in that point?
So, are you open to defending against a female?
I don't really feel like I have any other choice but to be. My career comes first. My title comes first. So, yeah, I'm open to it. Would I prefer go another route? Obviously, but I'll do what I got to do.
Have you ever been involved in an intergender match before?
Yes, I have. Yes, I have. More than once, actually.
How does... Because you brought up a very interesting point, because I've talked to Sarah Summers before on this podcast about it, and she is, of course, is game, and I have seen her in there against some guys, and, I mean, she definitely holds her own.
Yeah.
How do the fans, you know, because this area is different than other parts of the country, obviously. How do fans... where you've been before in these kinds of matches, how do they seem to take to it? Are they accepting of it?
Well, like, down south in Tennessee, like further south, Tennessee, Mississippi, like, I don't know, it's weird because they're accepting of it. They want it to happen, and then the bell rings, right? And then I start tying her up. I'm catching her headlock takeovers, and I'm holding on, I'm cranking on the different holds, and I start watching people in the crowd, and especially women. That's a woman, get your damn hands off of her. Tears coming down their face while I'm doing my job. I'm like, you asked for this. This was what you wanted, and now you are upset that I'm doing my job. But then, of course, the minute that things start to go south for me, I watch those tears become smiles. Now, fortunately, I've never lost to a girl, and I never will, because I'm Brandon Barbar and I'm the heavyweight champion. But nonetheless, I think it just depends on what's happening as to how much they're into it.
Yeah, and so You said it earlier, you're not in these words, but you're damned if you do, you're damned if you don't in some cases. But it has definitely become an evolution, especially in indie wrestling. We obviously saw it in WWE in the late 90s with China, but even since then, they've kind of backed off from it. But it is an interesting dynamic, and I think it's something that we'll continue to see, especially in the indie promotions. And Cape Championship Wrestling, I love the fact that they are adding tag team gold, because I am a tag team wrestling fan. I think on the big stage, there's still kind of a lack of love for tag team wrestling. So the fact that you guys are getting into it and supporting it is definitely a good thing in my view.
Well, you're not wrong. I mean, like, tag team wrestling takes a big backseat, and there were some awesome tag teams in, like, the 80s and early 90s. And since then, you get one every now and then that's really great, but they kind of fade in the background, especially with the bigger companies. But there are a lot of really great tag teams out there on the indies. And hopefully that's something that CCW can showcase. But I know that the company in general has done a really good job of listening to their fans. Even when I disagree with it, even whenever what the fans want isn't necessarily something that I, Brandon Baltimore, personally want, they always go back and they make sure that they make the fans happy. So if what the fans around here want is good tag team action, I guarantee that's what they'll get.
Absolutely. So who do you – I know you talked about your training earlier and being in there with Jake the Snake and Jerry the King Lawler, but – who do you watch? Who do you like now? Who do you kind of look toward as a mentor that you maybe not necessarily have met yet, but kind of look at their style or their way of doing promos or their way of getting in the ring? Who are you got your eyes on?
Oh, man, that's tough. There's so many. Like, there's not one solid answer to that. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, there are so many guys. I think Jericho goes without saying, right? I mean,
sure.
I mean, pretty obviously, Chris Jericho is amazing. He's had such longevity. He's been a success no matter what he's doing. He has a way of reinventing and recreating himself without actually losing the essence of who he is. That's pretty amazing, really, what he's been able to do. And to still be one of, you know, the highlights to the show now. You know,
absolutely.
From the moment that he showed up to now, he is still the guy that when he comes out, I'm like, oh shit, Jericho. You know what I mean? So that's impressive.
Yeah, he has definitely showed longevity. Excuse me, I took a drink and it went down the wrong pipe. But he is definitely one of those guys, especially now. I would argue that outside of his original debut with WWE, I would say that the stuff he's doing now with Kevin Owens has been just off the charts as far as entertaining, and
it's been amazing. But you know, I can't think of a single time when Jericho has stepped away and come back doing something a little different, and I didn't go, "Wow, that is really good."
Yeah,
you know?
He's definitely mastered the art of reinvention. And kind of speaking of reinventing, I think it's fair to say too that Matt Hardy has reinvented himself into this broken Matt Hardy. You know, you said earlier, Brandon, that you've watched his stuff online and on TNA that he's doing now. But for so long, a lot of that stuff was, you know, Matt Hardy, the extreme Matt Hardy stuff. And now he's kind of got this new character. He's a bit more unpredictable. So how are you going to prepare for him on February 25th?
That's a fair point. He hasn't been this and I use air quotes here, broken Matt Hardy nearly as long as he was, you know, version one or the little goth kid in the new brood, or, you know, he's reinvented himself a couple times too, but who he is at his core stays the same, and it's really not much different with Jericho. You know, there are certain things that they're going to go back to. They go to a certain well, like that Twist of Fate well, or that Whisper in the Wind well, you know what I mean? Like, it's, and it's so different with Jericho. You know, no matter who Jericho is, I think the only new thing that he introduced, and even then, now it's not new, was the Codebreaker. But that doesn't mean that he abandoned the Lion's Vault. He didn't abandon the Walls of Jericho. And those are things that I can exploit. Things that I know are going to be steadfast, a part of his game, and will be the things that I attack and pour over and over in my head on counters for. and ways to avoid, or even things to weaken down so that if it's something he gets on me, it's easier to break, or maybe he doesn't have so much impact. So, you know, I'm focused on the steadfast sides of Matt Hardy, not so much the absurd parts of him that are shining through right now. I'm facing Matt Hardy at his core, and frankly, I'm confident with it.
Got to be confident. You've got to be confident, especially getting in there with a veteran like Matt Hardy. Brandon, any final plugs, social media, ways that people can reach out to you and chat with you if they'd like to?
You can look up the Brandon Barbed Wire fan page on Facebook. That's just fine with me. They can also check out CCW Cape Championship Wrestling on Facebook. They can go to capewrestling.com. Other than that, you know, I don't really do a whole lot on social media. You want to get in touch with me? I go by Brandon Anderson on Facebook, because apparently Facebook has a problem with me going by barbed wire. So you go ahead and look me up if that's what you want to do. But the main thing that these people should be looking into is the ticket sales for Saturday night on the 25th. At the AC Broadway Arena building in Cape Girardeau, Missouri. They need to come down and they need to watch a wonderful tag team tournament and see new tag team champions crowned, and then they need to see the main event. They need to see hashtag Long Live the Champ Brandon Barbed Wire go one-on-one with broken Matt Hardy. And then they'll get an opportunity to watch Brandon Barbed Wire show Matt Hardy what broken really means. And I'll send him home to his wife and his kids. And they'll get to see the new broken Matt Hardy, the one that can hardly use his legs or his arms, if that's what I have to do to maintain my status, to continue to be CCW heavyweight champion. So that's what I think your fans should do. Go buy tickets. Come to Cape Girardeau.
It's going to be a great show, a tag team tournament. It is called Tag Team Warfare, main evented by your CCW Heavyweight Champion, the first and only CCW Heavyweight Champion, Brandon Barbed Wire, defending against Broken Matt Hardy. Brandon, thanks so much for being a part of my 1-2-3 Cents today.
Well, thank you for having me on here. I enjoyed it.
Thanks, as always, for listening to my 1-2-3 Cents, the podcast. Support the other Jittery Monkey podcast here as well. Chad's got a new one called Positive Cynicism. It drops every Friday. Plus, there is the Five Hearts podcast, which talks all about Nebraska Cornhusker sports and athletics. Greg Mahochko hosts that one, as well as Nerds United. So be sure to stick around, check out the other shows here on the Jittery Monkey Podcasting Network, as well as on iTunes. Don't forget to rate and review all the shows as well.
This is a production of the Jittery Monkey Podcast Network. For more jittery shenanigans, go to jitterymonkey.com.